At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Help keep our community safe and healthy during National Prescription Drug Takeback Day, October 25th. Find a collection site near you at deatakeback.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent drug misuse before it starts.
Guys, hi, welcome. Happy Sunday. We're at part one of the tell all for before the 90 days. We're going to do some chat, breakdown, recap, after show of part one. Part one was actually really good. Usually the part one is the slower part, but I felt like today's episode was actually really good. So
there you are.
Here I am.
Hi, howdy, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm okay. So this was part one of four. So
it was actually good. I'm so pissed that it's four parts, as you know, but
it was I think anything over two or three parts is overkill. You know, I think that we got to learn something from the Housewives. They don't do four, five, six, seven parts of tell all. You got to fit it all in there. Yes. So, but like you said, I was not disappointed in the drama tonight. The drama tonight was really good. I don't even know where to start, right? Because Adnan and Tiger Lily, mostly Adnan, were kind of he was the star tonight. He was picking fights with everyone, but I don't even know if that's where I want to begin.
When he walks in and says, "I'm so special now," I was already pissed.
Well, I caught that comment too. He's like, "Well, I'm special. She has me in the U.S. I'm very special." And I was like, the only person who thinks you're special is her.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're like, because I was like, maybe he didn't get the memo, but like, we don't like you. And nothing like specific from where you come from or anything. We just don't like your attitude in general.
Yeah.
Like we're not happy to see you, because they're like, oh, everyone's gonna be so shocked. Hey, Judy, so shocked to see us. And they're like, no, we're not. Like we knew this was coming. We're not excited. Like they walked in like Kim and Kanye, right? Like
yeah,
they
literally.
Had this really egotistical, we have arrived. Kind of like how Angela walks into a tell-all. Yeah. That was the vibe. That I got. And I was like, see, somebody's feeding them information that they're the stars, which they're taking that information and it's going to their head, because especially Adnan kind of feels like he's the see-all, know-all of the whole tell-all. He's the only person that has any sense. He even called his wife small-minded, you know, at the tell-all. He's the only person that has any sense. He even went after Brian, which I'm not against, you know, Brian is not my favorite person, but he was like, well, why should I take advice from someone who's in a wheelchair? And I was like, well, see, that's disrespectful.
Well,
just saying, like,
the only part I agreed with was Brian giving him advice. And he's like, so I was hard-headed. I was this, I was that, blah, blah, blah. And Adnan's like, well, you got shot in the back. So like, why would I take advice from you?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like giving somebody good advice, because like people have made horrible mistakes and learned from their horrible mistakes. So giving somebody advice is one thing. I just felt like he was like, well, people in wheelchairs can't give advice. I was like, well, that's a stupid thing to say. Don't get me wrong, Brian is an idiot. And I like to see that he was taking responsibility. He was like, yeah, I made bad decisions. I did this. My ego, my attitude, my thought process, my decisions got me here. I like that he was taking responsibility, because he didn't do much of that during this season. He didn't take a lot of accountability.
The only time he's ever taken accountability for anything.
Also, he's dating. Are you surprised by that?
Yeah.
I was a little surprised by that.
I'm so surprised by that. I can't believe somebody hasn't pushed that jackass off a cliff yet.
So ladies, I'm just wondering, because we've all seen him on TV, what would cross, you know, what would make someone want to be like, oh, so Ingrid didn't want him, so I'll take it. You know, I'll take him. What's the thought process with that? Hey, Diva Speaks.
I'll believe it as soon as I see the woman come out on stage and say, yeah, I'm with him.
Well, we know that it's a woman from Brazil, obviously. like, we know his MO. We know what he does. He finds a woman who he can control financially and manipulate financially. Hey, nurser. So, yeah, we know what his deal is. It's not like he's dating a woman that is local. He only finds these women who are in a tough situation, who could use a little financial help, or they were in a really bad relationship and they have some personal damage issues. And then he preys on those type of women. So when he says he's in a relationship, we know what he's doing. He only has one MO. He only has one pattern that he follows. But Ingrid also said that she's in a relationship.
I know, so clearly they're happy for her.
Well, yeah, I was happy to see that she's in a relationship. Fingers crossed it's a healthy, good relationship, because, you know, we can see the patterns that she's been in. So I'm hoping that she learned from the mistakes before. And we're going to get more into their relationship in the next coming tell-all, because one of the previews was he said that she had a boyfriend while he was there. So we're going to get into that later on. Oh, so wait, there was one other thing I wanted to bring up. Veya revealed tonight that she's not in studio because when she got back from Durban, she got really sick and she lost like 50 pounds and she had shortness of breath. And she said after months and months of tests, they found gallstones. So I don't know anything about gallstones. What does that mean?
But on her story tonight, she posted, hold on, and I'll tell you exactly what she posted because it was very recent. She said, it's not gallstones and they still don't know what it is. And she's really struggling. She said, so on tonight's tell all, I say that they found gallstones and I think we're on the right track, but there was still a lot more going on and I've gained a few pounds, but I'm still very underweight. If anyone has any recommendations of a good doctor that can help me or point me in the right direction, that would be amazing, as I have had no luck with any of these doctors I have seen.
Really? So she doesn't know what it is. Because, you know, people are going to speculate because a lot of people online were like 50 pounds. She didn't have 50 pounds to lose. I agree. If she lost 50 pounds, they would have to put her on an IV because she doesn't have the weight on her. She was skinny as they came, right? Like she had maybe 4 pounds on her ass. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. So when she said that she lost 50 pounds, I was like, you would have to go to the hospital. Right? Like, I don't even think you would be able to function if you were that sick. So,
if it was gallstones and that was truly the cause, they would have removed her gallbladder. And that would have, that didn't happen.
Oh, so if there were gallstone issues in the gallbladder, it's just a simple process of removing your gallbladder.
If she was that sick, they would have taken her gallbladder out. Yeah.
Well, yeah. If someone is so horribly underweight and they can't figure out why the issues are happening, you're right, they would just remove it. Because isn't the gallbladder, isn't that the body part where you function completely fine with or without it? Yeah. Isn't that organ?
Yep.
Yeah, so there's no life-threatening side effect of removing a gallbladder. Right. So yeah, if she was really in danger, you know, of her life being in danger, they would have took it out. Do you believe that she's really sick? Because some people are saying that this is all BS. Do you think that she's really sick, or she just didn't want to go to tell-all because of she didn't want to be confronted? Like, how do you feel?
I feel like she did not want to go to the tell-all, but I also feel like there's something serious going on because she definitely looked, she looked not well. She didn't look like herself at all.
Well, okay, so that was another topic of discussion. After her season started and she started going on lives on Instagram, people kept saying, you don't look like the girl on the show.
Yeah.
That was like the ongoing thing. They were like, you look different, you look sick, you don't look yourself. So I'm beginning to think she probably is sick.
Yeah.
Because the way she looked on the show, I mean, don't get me wrong, I used to say this, not to be mean, but she always looked like she just woke up when she was filming. Like, she didn't look her absolute best. You know, some people, they get their makeup done, they're ready for the camera. She didn't always look her best. But when she started going live after the shows, she really did look bad. Yeah. You know, like, it was in her face, it was in her neck, you could see her bones. It looked weird. So I am a little worried because, Diva, she does have psychological, mental damages, you know, things from her past. So when people have those PSD, what do you call it? Post-traumatic stressors in their life, you always worry, how are you mentally? Because when you're struggling mentally, it'll show up physically.
Absolutely.
So that was something that crossed my mind, because I was like, the tell-all would probably be a really big stressor for somebody with her psychological damage. So I was like, I could see her avoiding the tell-all, because, you know, it's just when someone has that many severe issues from their past, being confronted or put in the hot seat, it's very difficult. It's not like Adnan, who enjoyed it. It's not something that she would enjoy. Like, there's some people who don't enjoy being in the hot seat. And I think that maybe she wasn't sick at the time of the tell-all because she looked okay, but I think there definitely is something going on right now. Because like you said, I am worried about the way that she looks. And I don't know, I always felt like she was always going through something. Like, you know how you talk to someone and they'll tell you, you're like, are you okay? And they're like, okay, they say yes, but you can tell that they're not. Like, I always felt like she always had an inner dialogue of something going on that we didn't know about.
Absolutely.
Maybe I agree. Her ex. Oh, wait, Sunny's dad called it when he told her when she didn't look healthy. Yeah, he did. He did. She took that as an insult.
Yeah.
It was an insult. When you first meet someone, you don't usually criticize them. That's something that a father-in-law does later down the line.
But he she looked tired. And now looking back, she did. She looked tired all the time.
She did. She does. And again, I think that she has more going on than we know. Also, Matilda and Niles hadn't seen each other for 10 months. So, Kara, you and I had already talked about it because we knew that 3 months or 2 months, whatever he told Mr. Ark, was BS. They haven't been able to figure out how to get her here. And he said something interesting, and I want to get your opinion on. He said that I've covered all of my fees. So Matilda, and we'll talk about how Matilda's going to cover her fees. So is he trying to say that he's not going to pay for her half of the visa? Like, is he splitting it 50-50 and he's making her responsible for her own visa costs? Well,
I don't know, because he also said, when somebody says, when Sean asked him, are you going to ask Mr. Arkfort? He says, well, I have to make a phone call after this show.
Well, he said that he's paid back everything, right, from the wedding. He did say that. So the money that he borrowed from Mr. Ark is paid back. But then he was like, I've paid all of my fees. And I was like, well, now that you're married, it's both of your fees.
It is.
Right? Like, I don't understand. Because he was like, well, I've paid my part. And I was like, well, you're married. She is your part. You know, like,
but
you can't just expect.
But he also did say, he said exactly what we've been saying all along. Not only did he not realize that it would take so long, but they don't just approve you if you don't have thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in your bank account.
Well, yeah, they want to know everything that you have on hand, your assets, your bills, your debt, how long you've worked at your job. They look at everything. It's almost like if you were trying to adopt a child. Yeah. And a lot of people, they say this all the time. They're like, oh, well, say, for instance, a crackhead goes in, gets pregnant, and she gets to have a baby. But a really hardworking, educated couple can apply and get denied.
Yeah.
And it's true. It's like, you could be with the best intentions and have all the money and everything. They'll find a reason to deny you. But in this situation, Niles has good intentions. He wants to be with her. He wants to bring her here, but they're going to find a reason to make it difficult. You know, we watched this with Rebecca and Zayed. Rebecca had to quit her actual job and become a manager in fast food because that position paid the minimal amount to be considered for Zayed's visa application. So she actually had a career that she loved. She had to quit and go work at the chicken joint because the chicken joint was going to pay her enough money to get the application pushed through.
Yeah.
So it's crazy how these technicalities are holding people back from being together because it's something so simple. And, you know, I get it. You bring somebody over here, you have to be able to take care of them. I understand the government has enough people that they're taking care of. I get it from both sides, you know?
I do too. But also, I said it from the beginning, we have to protect Niles at all costs, but I have to say, I love his little snarkiness that he had tonight. He was ready to throw down with everyone.
See, it was surprising to me because the Niles that we got all season was scared of his own shadow. He was scared to talk to his wife. He was scared to tell Mr. Ark anything. He was scared of everything. And then the Niles we got tonight was like a different person.
The Niles we had before was in a foreign country.
Yeah, that's true. And he did say that it was a trigger for him to be alone in a foreign country. So maybe he was more guarded and more particular of how he acted. Because, you know, there are people who go overseas and act a fool, and then they end up in an overseas jail and they can't get out.
That's what I'm saying. I would be different in a foreign country because, I mean, I could probably do jail fine here, but I don't know how I would handle it in a foreign country.
Well, yeah. You know, so I was just talking on Twitter. What's his name? The Tiger King. He's in jail or he's in prison. He's got a phone. He has a TV. He's able to go online and do Twitter spaces. Jail in America has become something much, much more tolerable as because, you know, I watch Love After Lockup. People are able to have, there's so much more freedom in our jails. If you go overseas and go into jail, they might or might not feed you. They don't care. They literally don't care. If something was to happen to you, they might or might not call 911. They might not even get you medical attention. They literally don't care. And especially if you're an American, they don't even like they don't like us in most of those places. So you go over there, you're kind of screwed. So you're right. Maybe the Niles that we got in Ghana was the Niles who was like, I would like to get back safely to Alabama and not be locked up. And
that's exactly how I feel, because he was like pushing the envelope here. He's like, I'm back in my home turf. I can say what I want.
Well, he took a really strong stance with Adnan. And actually, most of the cast did. Everybody on the cast feels like Adnan is being extremely controlling, which we knew that from the beginning. But I think Tiger Lily, what's the best way to say this respectfully?
There is
Tiger Lily, she doesn't mind being controlled. And I think that she likes being controlled and manipulated. I think that, you know how some people have a kink? I think they call it like dominant and submissive. Some people like to be dominated. I'm not saying that she wants somebody to hit her. I don't believe that's true. But I think that she likes it when a man takes control and tells her what to do, what to wear, what to say, what to eat. Shekinah is the same way, right? Shekinah, she'll sit here and tell you that she doesn't like that and she's independent. But when a man comes in and tells her to shut her damn mouth, she will shut her damn mouth. Yeah. It's just something that, it's just what she enjoys. I don't know if it's like a kink or a character trait. I don't know what it falls under, but I think Tiger Lily is the same way. I think that she, because she's like, oh, I was in a controlling relationship before and I didn't like it. I was like, or he got tired of you, right? Exactly. Like, I don't think that you got tired of him controlling you. I think he got tired of you and he found somebody else. And now you're looking for somebody.
Also, we were talking about her getting remarried and giving up her alimony and her spousal support and all that shit. You know, she was getting $11,000 a month.
I saw. So $11,000 a month plus up to $4,000 per month in expenses on the American Express. So
plus child support.
Plus child support. That was all part of the spousal. The divorce decree or whatever, which I'm pretty sure it's over now, right? Because once you get remarried, that's over.
No, I mean, yes, technically that's how it should work, but again, she married in a different country where the marriage isn't recognized in the United States. So,
well, now that he's here, the spouse, what you're saying is technically they're not married here until, but wait, the day that he got here would mean the spousal visa took effect, right? Isn't it? Because it's not a K-1.
I don't know how that works. I know that from all the stuff with John and Rachel, I do know that when John got here, the spousal visa only meant for him, even though they were married in England, the only thing the spousal visa meant for him was that he was an automatic citizen and he could start work immediately. He didn't have to wait for his green card once he got here. But they had planned a big wedding here. So I don't know.
See, yeah, I'm not confused too, because I know with the K-1, it doesn't activate until you get married. But spousal, I'm pretty sure, is different. Spousal, the day you get here, I think it kicks in.
The day you get here, you're a permanent resident and you can immediately start working. But I don't know if, like, when you get married in America, you get married in front of someone who is ordained. They have to fill out a bunch of paperwork, and they have to turn that into the courthouse for it to be recorded. So I'm not sure how it works coming from a different country if you just take your papers that are not recognized in the United States and be like, well, he's here, so can you record this? I don't know how that works.
I don't either. I want to, so there was a comment that Adnan made tonight. Nobody reacted to it. I rewound the episode to make sure. he was arguing with, I think, Niles and Vanja, and Adnan said, okay, so when I'm hitting her and I'm angry with her, am I being controlling? Did you catch that comment?
I did not, and now I'm going to go back and watch it, because that
pisses me. To be 100% accurate, I rewound it, and the words popped up on the screen. He said, okay. They were like, oh, you're being controlling. You like to manipulate and control her. And he's like, okay, so when I'm hitting her or when I'm angry at her, am I being controlling? And no one in the peanut gallery reacted to the comment. Not Sean Robinson, not Vanja. And I was very confused. And the fact that they would leave it in and then print the words on the screen so we weren't fooled, because I heard it and I was typing a tweet out and I was like, yeah, that's definitely not what he said. So I rewound it and I go back, the words pop up on the screen and he said, so when I'm hitting her or when I'm angry with her, am I being controlling? And I was like, so did he just admit that he hits her? And nobody reacted whatsoever. Nobody in the gallery, Sean Robinson. And this clearly went through editing because the words came up on the screen. So they wanted you to know what he said.
But he also said something about killing someone. And I'm trying to find where I wrote it.
Oh, yeah, he did. So Judy said it too. He said while they were in the green room, when they took the break, he was like, I hope no one says anything to make you feel upset or uncomfortable because I don't want to kill anyone.
Yeah.
Which I thought was completely out of line and crazy to say. And they aired that too. Yeah. And it's making me wonder, are they instigating this type of behavior? Like, are they promoting this type of behavior? Because when he said that when he hits her, because I was like, why would you say when I hit her if you don't hit her? Yeah. And don't get me wrong, there was never a doubt in my mind that this dude hits her. I'm sorry, I'm just going to be 100% real. Absolutely. I would be more shocked if someone could prove to me that he didn't. Like, that is just something that a narcissist manipulator does, they hit. So when he said it on the show, though, and nobody reacted. I mean, everybody was talking amongst themselves, and I was like, well, did they not hear that? Because that's something
they probably didn't hear it, because I felt like I was glued to the TV the whole time, and I didn't hear that.
Okay. Okay, so Gina says, wouldn't threats like that get him sent back to Jordan? So again, if he became a citizen the day he got here, how does that work? I think Andre said it's every 7 years he has to go back to renew. So technically, if nothing comes up, like he doesn't get arrested or anything, he wouldn't really even have to go through another interview for like 7 years. Isn't that how it goes? So technically, because let's remember, Larissa got arrested 2 or 3 times for assault, domestic violence assault. And this was before she was an active citizen or she had her green card and it didn't affect her status. Yep. So yeah, I think him just saying those words, it's not going to jeopardize anything. He would have to actually follow through or get arrested. And even getting arrested for some reason, it's not that serious when
you're... Well, and look at Nicole and Mahmoud. He beat the shit out of her and he didn't get arrested.
No, and he went back on his own accord, on his own free will. If technically, if he wanted to stay, he could have. He just didn't want to.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's a whole nother big issue, too, that I'm worried about. Does domestic violence and dangers for women, does it get overlooked when it's mixed into an immigration situation? Because if they were both American citizens and he was domestically abusing her, it would be so much easier for her to get help. But it seems like when it's mixed in with an immigration situation, it seems like the immigrant gets away with more. Do you feel like that? Like,
I totally,
because in my opinion, send them back. Because he kept saying, oh, these idiots, everyone in this world is an idiot, these people are idiots. And I was like, sir, you came here. We didn't ask you to. If you hate everybody here, we're all idiots, we're all morons, why are you here? We're not forcing you to be here against your will. You know, you come here and you feel like you're smarter than everyone here at 22 years old. Can you imagine? Yeah. Can you imagine if we had an election and we elected a 22-year-old to run our country? Can you imagine? Half the time we're electing people that are damn near 80,
like 35 or some shit. The president.
But we're electing people that are damn near 80 and they still aren't doing the job correctly. So can you imagine at 22, because he thinks that he knows everything. He told Brian that he was smarter than him. He told Vanya he was smarter than her. He told Niles he was smart. Like, he thinks he's a genius, which is fine. You can believe that. And the one thing that Brian said, Brian was like, I thought I was a genius too at your age. We all did. And I think what's scary to me is there's a 42-year-old woman enabling this man's behavior, and now there's a child in this situation. And that's what's scary to me, because the child is
that's
an innocent.
That's the only thing I can say good about Tiger Lily and Adnan is their baby's freaking adorable.
The cutest.
Like, so cute.
I know. Literally so the cutest. Cute. I tweeted it out. I was like, good Lord, if there was like a contest for the cutest 90-day baby, we got a top five right here. Right? Like, so cute. Oh, you know who else baby is really cute? Shida and Bilal. Adorable.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God, right? But that baby, I think his name is Zane 11. Adorable. Adorable baby. I worry because that comment that he made tonight of being physical with his wife, It's really scary, because, you know, when there's domestic situations, you don't know how far it's going to go. There are women who lose their lives. There are men who lose their lives. Yeah. And we've seen enough. Hey, bestie. Hey, Kim. We've seen enough of this abuse, this domestic abuse on the show. And I want more attention brought to it. Yeah. And I don't want them to keep pushing it as though it's okay. It's never okay. Whether it's a woman who's being abused or the man, it's not okay. And, you know, printing the words on the screen just so we know what's going on, and then not putting a disclaimer at the end or not editing it out. Because Renee was told she couldn't come to this tell-all. She's not allowed. But he gets to show up to the tell-all and say not only would he kill people, but he also hits his wife. But he's allowed. You know, like, it's a double standard, and I don't like it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely. It was just, it was too much with him tonight. He was very out of line, but the way he was mocking everyone every time, like, he started off strong. Like, I thought he was gonna have some good advice, if you will, you know, good commentary towards these people, because he started off good. It seemed like he was defending Vanya and all that stuff, and then as soon as she made one comment towards him, he started mocking her. This guy's such a piece of shit. And then he tells Tiger Lily, be careful what you say. And he kept saying that. Be careful what you say.
Well,
man,
they'd ask her a question and he was like, be careful. I didn't like that at all. Because even Vanja was like, well, can you leave so she can talk? Because you won't let her talk. I feel like she's afraid of you. And then after that comment about when I'm hitting her, and I was like, she is.
Yeah.
Because she knows when these cameras go away, this is today. When they get back home, if she said something that he didn't like, she's going to have hell to pay. And that's really scary. And everybody could see it. They were like, as long as he's sitting next to you, we're never going to get an answer out of your head. We're never going to know how you really feel.
But as soon as he left the stage, she was still carefully planning out her sentences, what to say and what was right. You could see it. I mean, she's terrible.
I mean, I'm not a fan of her at all, like literally at all. Yep. But I don't think anyone should live in danger or fear. She's a mother to three children who need her. I don't care if she's an idiot. I don't care if she's a moron. There are three human beings that depend on her fully. So if that's the situation she's in, I hope and pray that she can change that. But again, I don't know if she wants to change it. I think that she enjoys being controlled, just like Shekinah. Shekinah, because at first I was like, man, I just want her to be safe and be happy. But I think in some weird part in her mind, she thinks that this is happy.
Yeah.
This is how it's supposed to be. There's supposed to be a man controlling what you eat and see and dress and think. And I don't know how to change that in her mind. So now I'm just worried about the babies.
Yeah.
You know, that's who I really, you know, you can't fix another adult.
But also,
but you can worry about
they showed the picture of the baby and she said, oh, I miss him now. You didn't miss him before?
I caught that too. I was like, so as long as you didn't see him, you wouldn't have realized you weren't with him.
Yeah.
But I told you this before. I was like, I have never seen her as a mother, but she doesn't give me mother vibes. So I was like, again, I can't judge her mothering ability because I've never seen it. But like, she doesn't throw off like strong motherly instincts. So that comment was in line with that. I was like, oh, you remembered you had a baby, so now you miss it. You know, because that's just how it aligned with me. Oh. Yeah. Lauren, two things. Lauren said that he mailed Faith a ring. When she got the package, the ring was gone. So, you know, Lauren, who went to the Philippines with $46. Do you believe Lauren mailed the ring? Because my theory is there was never a ring in there. He probably sent her, like, a ring box with no ring in it. And then he's like, I'll just tell her that it didn't. It got lost in the mail. I don't buy that. But were you surprised that Lauren and Faith were still in communication? That was my big shocker.
Very much. Very much. Okay. But I have so much shit to say about this Lauren thing. Okay, so first of all, he comes out and says, "You don't lose your penis from gonorrhea, you lose your hearing." First of all, I didn't know that. I'm not educated on gonorrhea.
Wait, you lose
Second
your
of all,
hearing?
that's what he said.
I'm
Who's he
gonna
talking
fact
to?
check that. Go
But
ahead.
that's
I'm gonna fact
what I
check that
said.
because I didn't
Yeah.
know that either.
I know. I am definitely, I don't know. Something about me didn't want to Google anything about gonorrhea. I was afraid of
Well,
what was
yeah,
gonna
if
pop
somebody
up.
finds my search history, they're gonna think I have gonorrhea now because I'm searching for
If
gonorrhea.
somebody finds my search history from the shit I look for, they're gonna think that, yeah, they're gonna send help, actually.
And sometimes it's just me being curious. I don't have the stuff. No, gonorrhea itself does not directly cause hearing loss. However, if you experience hearing loss symptoms alongside a gonorrhea infection, it could be a sign of a different sexually infection. Oh, I'm sorry, sexually transmitted infection like syphilis, which
Oh.
can lead to hearing loss if untreated. So it would mean he would have another sexually transmitted disease at the same time.
Okay, that makes sense. But also, the fact that he got cured from gonorrhea and then goes back and sleeps with the same whore that gave it to him, like, this guy has no fucking brain. None. He makes me sick.
Well, I don't even know where to start with this. So he said that he drinks pee sometimes.
He makes me sick. This guy is so
So,
gross.
okay, so Joey made the comment, and I think Brian did too. He said, "You're a shock jock." And I'm beginning to wonder how much of a shock jock is Lauren? How much of what he says is true versus what he thinks will get a rise out of people? I'm beginning to think that now because he was like, "Oh yeah, you know, why am I gross?" And they're like, "Everything that comes out of your mouth." They're like, "What do you mean? How?" And even his friend was like, "Oh, well, maybe he just shares too much." I was like, "Maybe Lauren isn't as weird as he puts off. He just knows when the camera's rolling, the crazier stuff that comes out of your mouth, the better." You know, he's capitalized on using hashtags like gonorrhea boy, STD boy. Like he capitalizes on this. So why wouldn't he go on the show and say, "Oh yeah, I drink urine."
But
Like, why
wait,
wouldn't?
okay. I don't know how many followers you need to have to monetize on Instagram, but
I think it's
this
10,000
jackass,
or more. 10,000 or more, I think.
He's got 2,180.
Well, his
So.
followers has not gone up, and I think it's most people that I've ever asked, they were like, "I can't stand him." And some people even said it because
He followed me, and I had to put my phone under a UV light for sanitation.
I think that he's being counterproductive because yes, we're talking about him, but people aren't following him. Because I'll say something that he posted and people will be like, "When did he post that? I can't follow someone like that." Like they say that about Kyle Gordy too. They're like, "I can't follow someone like that." They know who you are, but they're not gonna follow you or they're not gonna support you. And I think he takes it to the point where he could probably have more followers and monetize and make money, but he takes everything too far. And I think that's
Yeah.
his issue.
But this guy, okay, so he didn't even go to the Philippines for Faith. He was going for some other chick that he was in love with 3 days before that wasn't even a lady boy.
Yeah, an actual woman. Yeah. And notice he didn't bring up that because he said after he got back, there was a month they didn't speak and then they talked every day. He never mentioned the woman that he married in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Never brought that up. So I'm like, does
Yep.
Faith even know about that? You know, because we know for a fact he was married in Las Vegas. We saw the divorce decree.
Yep.
We saw that he divorced the one, he got married and was married for most of the year
Yeah.
and then got divorced. And I'm like, so you're talking to Faith the whole time? Because he's like, "We've been talking basically every day minus a month." So I was like, "You were married to someone else. You're still talking to her." And apparently, a pyramid scheme, like a scammer, got him to buy the ticket, took all his money, which, Cara, how much money were we talking?
I mean,
He,
someone got, $33
well,
and
right,
was
because
like, woo-hoo.
his friend,
But
I think
also,
Esther's like,
jackass.
"Oh,
Okay.
she took all his money." And I'm like, "Esther, how much money are we talking? Like $35? Like, how much is a
He's
lot?"
got no money, right? But he says he's sending all this money to Faith. But when he was in the Philippines, we found out to build a big, beautiful home for her mom, it was only $2,000. Then he says he sent $8,000 to $10,000. Which she says it's not true. Well, then he says,
if he did, they would be living in a mansion.
Yes.
Can you imagine?
So
a decent house is $2,000. If he sent her $8,000 to $10,000, they would be living in like a hotel. Absolutely. Right? Like their house would have 100 rooms.
Absolutely. And he said he sent $2,000 and then he sent another $2,000 and then he sent $800 and then a couple hundred. I don't know where his math is going, but none of that equals $8,000 or $10,000.
Yeah, I caught that.
None of it. Too.
I caught that too. Because I was like, $2,000 plus $800 plus $200 plus $300 isn't $8,000. Yeah. But where would he have gotten $8,000 to $10,000? Because his whole spiel on the show and off the show on social media is I have no money. Yeah. His entire storyline and his life is built around, I can't afford child support. I live on couches. I can't afford my own home. I can't afford a car. I don't eat every day.
Yeah.
He said something on the...
I eat out of garbage cans so I can send her money. And some days I don't eat. Well, you're eating out of garbage cans. So why don't you eat some days?
Okay. Shelly says, why would you need to send her cleaning supplies for herself when she works at a hotel? That's true. Because, you know, when you work in an office, every now and then you might take a few reams of paper home. And if you work in a cleaning company, you might take a few cleaning products home. You're right. Well, what would she need that?
The hotel. She lives there. So she's cleaning her own home with her hotel cleaning supplies.
See, I'm beginning to think that they're right. Lauren is a shock jock. Lauren isn't, nothing that happens with Lauren is true. Because, well, even his friend Esther said it. She was like, he wants to fall in love, so he'll have this person. It's everything is planned out. It's all, he has a backup plan, a A, B, and C plan. He's not actually trying to get married or get a wife or whatever. He always is planning something out. And I think that in order for him to, I guess the word is grift, because let's be real, he wanted to move to the Philippines. I don't know what happened with the first girl, but with Faith, he wanted to insert himself into her life.
Yeah.
He didn't want to take care of her. He wanted to insert herself into her life. And I'm assuming with the first girl from the Philippines, probably the same thing. He found the girl who had a place to stay. She had a job. Because he kept saying, oh, well, Faith is great. She's independent. She works. I'm like, that's your requirement. You need somebody who you can insert yourself into their life.
Exactly.
That's what he's looking for. He's not looking to get a wife and take care of her. He's looking for somebody to take care of him.
Yeah.
And as long as he's not working and she is, child support is non-existent, right? Because as long as it's her money, not his money, they don't do that garnish your wife stuff overseas. That's an American thing.
Yep. And then you're right about the shock jock thing, because when Niall said, what, so if someone told you to walk off a cliff, would you? And he's like, yeah, and I have. And then he starts going off on a tangent about stories of driving off a cliff. Sean Robinson nipped that in the ass right away.
Yeah, but he was like, this guy's no. We're not doing that.
Yeah. Such a freaking fool.
I think that I don't want to say that he's normal, but I think he's much more normal than he leads on. I think that he saw this as an opportunity to put his name out there, to build a online persona of a crazy person who says insane things. He said, I drink urine on TV. Yeah. Like, it doesn't get any more crazy than this. And I think that he's like, oh, well, if I can build an online, because he said that he was selling autographs online for $5. Remember, he said he's selling online autographs for $5. And he posted today a whole bunch of pictures of people who met him in Vegas. He's enjoying this lifestyle, right? And I don't get me wrong. I think that he's probably 4 or 5 tools short of the tool shed. Uh-huh. But I don't think that he is the level of insane that he's selling to us. I think that he functions fine, like, in the world, but he wants you to believe that he's non-functioning. He wants you to believe that he's eating out of a trash can, he's drinking urine, and, like, it's not really that crazy. And I think that, you know, we're smart enough to know what's BS. And I think that the way that he acted on the show and coming up with the gonorrhea and calling himself a gonorrhea, it aligned. So we were fooled a little bit, but do you think he really had gonorrhea? Do you believe that? Because I remember when he had the paperwork, it was all in Thai, or I couldn't read it. You think he really went there with gonorrhea?
100%. And the reason that I say that is because when he got cured, right?
Yeah.
He took it to Faith, and she read it.
Now, oh, yeah, she did. Yeah, because we couldn't understand. He showed us the paper, but we couldn't make out what it said.
Right. So had that not happened, I might not have believed it as much, but I still believe it. I mean, but I don't believe how he got it. I don't think he got it from oral sex.
Oh, well, yeah, he probably got it from something much more gross. I
don't know that you can get it from oral sex. But again, I haven't researched my gonorrhea situation.
Well, right. I'm not an expert on STDs, you know, so I don't know. Oh, he said that he had a chat log. So he brought up tonight, he had a chat log where he had explained to Faith that he was having sex with his friends. But he uses the term sleeping with. Yeah. And I do think that when your English is not your first language, right? Because I've had this conversation a bunch of times where we say weird things in English that other people would never understand. So for instance, I'll kill two birds with one stone. We're not actually killing anything. Like, so there's terms that we use that don't translate to other people learning our language. So when he said, I'm sleeping with my friends, Faith was like, that means that you're close with that person. You sleep over their house, you get along with that person. I truly believe he didn't tell her that he was having sex with all these different
people. I believe that
because
too.
Right when the tell-all started, she was crying. And It's like, if you knew that he was a whore from the beginning, his lies wouldn't really have an effect on you anymore. You know, and I feel like she's genuinely hurt because I think, again, this was a real relationship to her. And this was all bullshit. Yeah, and this was bullshit and a TV show opportunity for him. They weren't on the same page. He wanted to be on TV, and he used this opportunity. He capitalized on it. He just used her completely in the process. Yeah. She, when we found out that she wasn't even the real reason why he bought a ticket to the Philippines, I could see it then. I was like, He does not give a shit about her. Nope. He was going to the Philippines, whether it was for her or somebody else. He already had the ticket. He just figured out, oh, I'm going to be filming. I can't film with this girl. I got to film with this. It was literally insert person into the story.
Yeah.
And it sucks because she really thought they were in a relationship and he never gave a crap about her.
Yeah, 100%. And it's so sad when she said, this is my first love and I just don't want to let go. And there was so much packed emotion behind that. She's really in love with him. And it's so sad.
It's
so
scary.
Freaking sad.
I know it's scary because she keeps saying things that hurt me because she's like, well, I'm a lady boy and no one's ever going to really love me. And I was like, I wish you wouldn't say that because that's not true. Because there are gay, lesbian, trans, there are people who live the lifestyle that you live and other lifestyles that do love and accept you for who you are. Mm-hmm. And I feel like she doesn't feel like she deserves to be loved properly. And that's an inner issue. And as long as she feels that way, she's never going to be able to find a good relationship because she's like, yeah, he's a piece of shit, but he loves me. And, you know, most people. So I'm really worried about her emotionally because what else would she tolerate because she doesn't feel like she deserves to be loved properly?
Yeah.
That's a scary thing because that's kind of how I look at Shekinah and Tiger Lily and, you know, Michael from Michelangelo. What are you tolerating? If you don't believe you deserve to be treated with love, respect, and kindness, what are you going to tolerate? And then it's a slippery slope, you know, to someone finding you unalive, you know, because you have to know where the draw the line, where people can treat, how people can treat you and how they can't treat you. And I feel like for Faith, that's a very blurred space because in her mind, she doesn't believe that she's supposed to be loved properly. And that's not true. Everybody deserves to be loved properly, regardless of your lifestyle, regardless of whatever you've done or who you are. None of that matters. And I think in her mind, she's like, well, I can overlook him lying and cheating and almost giving me gonorrhea because, you know, where else am I going to find somebody who loves a label? And I'm like, have you not like been out? There's lots of people that are only into trans people or vice versa. So I was like, she really does need to get out more and explore more because she doesn't need to settle.
I agree. It's so sad. She just breaks my heart.
I think she's a good person, but she doesn't see herself. You know how sometimes you don't see yourself, you don't see how good you are and how what your worth is. She doesn't see her worth, and I think that's how we ended up here. I think if she saw her worth, we never would have met her. on this show. We never would. She,
right.
she has to hold herself to a much, much higher standard. And, you know,
also, I got to give her mad props for when it first started and Dipshit said that they're engaged again. And she's like, no, we're not.
Yeah, she was. And he looked, he's like, oh, yeah, I sent her a ring and we're engaged. And she was like, no, we're definitely not. She's like, we're talking. You know, yeah. we're working towards something, but we are definitely not engaged. So you're right. She is starting to acknowledge, like, well, look, I can decide what I'll tolerate, what I'll accept. As of right now, I wouldn't accept the ring from this guy. And that's good. Yeah. That's a step, you know, because I think in the beginning, whoever offered her a ring, she would have took it. And that's a yeah. scary place to be, because there are some pretty horrible human beings out there who have money to buy a ring.
Yeah.
You know, that's a scary place to be. So you can't just be like, oh, whoever offers me one first, we're getting married. You can't be like that. You have to yeah. actually know who they are and what's good for you and if they're good for you and if they're going to work. So, yeah, I think that she needs to run away. You know, she needs to, I don't know why she's even considering whatever she's considering, because she said they were working towards something. I don't know what they're working towards, but.
It's sad.
All right. So, okay, we talked about the $8,000 to $10,000. Oh, Bojan was there. Okay, so Bojan was at the tell-all tonight, and they started asking him questions about his girlfriend. So apparently this girlfriend reached out to Vanja and wanted to know a timeline, because she was under the impression that he was double dipping. He was talking to both women at the same time, which Vanja said, I don't know who he was talking to, but he was talking to me in yep. December. And he was also talking to this other girl. So what are your thoughts? Because our thought process was he was currently with her while he was with Vanja, and that's why he was acting weird around her. But now this message that Vanja got makes it seem like he's not with either woman. So now I'm a little confused. And also that the women didn't know about, also that the women didn't know about each other, which I thought they did.
I mean, I said it from the beginning that he was back with his ex. So I feel like Vanya didn't know, but I feel like the ex knew.
Okay.
I mean, she knew. He's lying.
But do you think that, do you think that the ex and him did eventually break up again, and now she, you know how, if she might look at it as.
It was a money opportunity to be on TV. That's why it was a one-day thing, and he broke up with her. Now he's on the tell-all, getting the final check, blah, blah, blah. It was exactly like he told his girlfriend it was going to be. I'm going to meet up with her. I'm not going to do anything with her. We're going to collect these checks, and we're going to be sitting footloose and fancy-free. However, you're going to have to text her and pretend like you don't know, and I think it was all a plan.
Oh, so you think it was all orchestrated?
Yeah.
And, I mean, him showing up to the tell-all was super questionable for me.
Yep.
Because I felt like when she got there, you rejected her immediately. Y'all broke up like literally two episodes in. You showing up was weird. Like, why would you even show up? Kind of Yoshiko too, because he's going to show too. Why would you even show up for such a short-lived? It makes it, for me, it makes it seem like you're an opportunist. Because yeah. if I dated a girl for like 2 days and then she wants to come bash me on TV, I'll skip that.
Yep.
Because I don't want people to judge me based on 2 days. So the fact that he showed up and thought that he was going to be, I don't know, let down easy or not being called the dog that he is kind of confusing. I was like, did you think they were going to be nice to you?
Yeah.
Showing up here? You know, like, that's like showing up to, it's like going to a rival gang member's party, right? Like, you showing up here where you're not welcome, that you think people are going to be nice to you? Like, yep. this is exactly what you, this is what I would expect to happen, period.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, he's sick. He's just sick.
So wait, Gina said, I went on his Facebook and found pictures of them. And what I read, she looks like Vanja. Okay, so Gina was telling me that this girl is actually an American from Montana, which is kind of interesting to me. I wasn't expecting, I thought that this girl was a local girl from Croatia. So there's a article on Screen Rant that says that this girl is from Montana and she's an American. So that threw me for a loop. Because I assume that the girlfriend was local.
I apologize.
Never once mentioned on the show that she was an American. He never said anything. I mean, no. He didn't say she wasn't.
No.
But he never said that we're talking about an American.
But we did address this kind of in the beginning, that the ex was from, I think, Houston. Something like that.
But how did they ever meet? Did she come to see him?
I don't know.
See, now I have questions.
But I apologize, everybody. I can't see any comments. So if anybody's asked me anything or said anything, I didn't see it.
Oh, no. Okay. I'll try to read them if there's anything.
It's okay. It's no big deal. I just don't want anyone to think that I'm ignoring them. But I just can't see comments.
Oh, okay. Instagram, get it together. So, okay, so Bojo said that he had to leave when they started asking him questions about his girlfriend, or the presence of a girlfriend, not necessarily of his girlfriend. He said he had a meeting that he was late for at 10 p.m.
Yeah.
Which shows his level of guilt. He was running from the situation, which he had been doing from the beginning. And I mean, if you're going to lie to people and play a woman and make her look stupid, at least have the balls to say, I lied. To own up to your shit and just say, look, yes, I had a girlfriend. I was using you. You fell for my scam. This is what, like, I would have expected more if you wouldn't just run away. I mean, I know you don't want to ruin your reputation on TV, but again, why did you show up? If I did something vile and horrible to someone and then they called, I don't know, Dr. Phil, and then Dr. Phil calls me and say, hey, they want to confront you, I'm not going to go. Because literally. I don't want the whole world to know that I did something horrible to them, you know, because what do you think is going to happen? It's going to make you look like a dick. That's literally why they're calling you.
But when you have no job and they're like, well, if you show up, we'll give you $1,500. Yeah, okay. I'll be there for a minute, but I get to leave as soon as I'm mad.
Oh, so this person says, Pineapple says, for all we know, the U.S. girlfriend could have set this up with Vanja because she couldn't be on the show with him for some reason. That's interesting. So, yes, yeah, say, for instance, the U.S. girlfriend couldn't go on TV. You know, there's lots of different reasons why people can't go on TV. I remember we learned with Riley, if you have certain government jobs, you can't go on TV. So maybe she's the one that planted Vanja, you know, in his inbox. And she saw you could do the show with this woman and we could get 10, 20 grand and that would be enough to cover your visa. That's interesting too. So, I mean, he might not be a moron. Like, maybe they had this all orchestrated and planned out, and in the end, they're going to get their check, and they're probably going to win. We don't know. It's just the fact that he wanted to run away and not discuss, you know, because she just wanted answers and closure, which I think she deserves, and he refused. He refused when she was there. He refused on the show, and it's like, if you don't want to talk, don't show up.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's such a waste of everybody's time. We see this a lot on the tell-alls. People, they show up and then they want to get up and walk away. They want to jump off the screen. They want to turn off the camera. Why, if you don't want to talk, why are you here? You know, like, the point of this was for you to tell everybody what you did and answer questions. Why are you even here?
Unless you're just there for that check. I made an appearance. I answered a question. Now pay me my money and I'm out of here.
Which is, I think, what he did. Yep. He needed to be on camera and that was part of the deal. He showed up. He answered a few questions. And he's like, okay, maybe he even told them, he's like, I'll give y'all 1 hour.
Yeah.
And say, for instance, everybody else was talking during that 1 hour. And when his 1 hour was up, even though they hadn't talked to him, he was like, I promised you 1 hour.
Yeah.
You accept it. I'm out. You know, that's probably what he did. Oh, so Adnan's brother is no longer the power of attorney. She said that on the show. So they didn't really elaborate on it, but she said that was, because remember he said he wouldn't actually show up to the visa interview.
They did kind of elaborate. So basically what they were saying is he got rid of him as power of attorney because if he didn't, she wanted a postnup and he wouldn't sign the postnup. So she got rid of the postnup, he got rid of the power of attorney, and now he can take her for everything.
So do you think that he's after her money? Do you think that that's what's going on? Because a lot of people have been really confused at who's after whose money, right? We've had this conversation. We thought, is she after Adnan's money? Because he claims he owns businesses and he's very successful. He doesn't seem smart enough to be really, I'm sorry, that's mean. But he doesn't seem like, I don't know, in my mind, he doesn't seem smart enough to be really, really rich. Because I'm not saying that you have to be smart to be rich, but to make really good business decisions and to capitalize on your investments and your businesses, you have to at least have common sense. And I don't see that with him. Like, I feel like he's an idiot. I feel like he's a person that would buy a bunch of stock in something and then it plummets and loses everything. That's the vibe I get from him. So yep. Now I'm confused at who's taking who for what. Because at first I was like, maybe Tiger Lily is trying to get his money. And now I think maybe he's trying to get Tiger Lily's money. Who has money?
I think he just wanted to get to America. I think he has his own money. And I think he just wanted to get to America.
See, that makes sense. And Shelly agrees with you. She was like, he just wants to be here. You're right. Yep. I think he had a goal to be here. And, you know, he said that he worked as a model in Jordan. And, you know, it's lots of male model opportunities here in the U.S. You go to L.A., you know, you might be able to get work. Do you think he looks like a model, Cara? I'm just curious.
He's a decent looking boy, but I don't think he's model material.
I mean, no, I don't like I look at magazines, you know, and the people that they put in the magazines, they don't look like Adnan. No. They usually, like, for instance, lately, I've seen a lot of longer haired guys in the magazines. The models, their hair is all always, like, below the shoulder. It's like the new
look. They always got, like, piercing blue eyes and just the most ripped abs. Like, he's not going to get a modeling job, you know, when he's making himself cover up for her benefit.
Wait, Gina says, I don't think so, since he has an apartment in Jordan and wouldn't sell it. I mean, maybe he wants to have dual citizenship.
Yeah.
Like, not necessarily that he wants to come here and stay. Maybe he wants to come here for a specific reason to do something specific, but he wants to be able to go back and forth. It was weird that he wouldn't get rid of the apartment.
Well, he did tell his mom that he would come back every month to visit. So it would probably be cheaper to keep an apartment than try to get, you know, a hotel or something.
True. I mean, it's weird when, because you remember we had this conversation with Patrick and Thais when that, remember Patrick had an apartment and the dad was the dad renting it out for them or?
No.
I don't remember. Or maybe
the dad owned it. The dad owned it and they were renting it from the dad.
That's what it was. That's what it was. And we were like, why is he doing that? They're not living in it. It's a waste of money.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I was like, well, an apartment, unless you own a condo, it's not really feasible to hold on to it if you're not going to use it.
Right.
And, you know, Thais said the same thing, like, why are we sending all this money to your dad for an apartment that we use once or twice a year at best, right? Yeah. And, you know, I think that it's wasteful. Unless he owns the property, let it go, you know? Like, and if you have as much money as you say, it's not hard for you to rent a short-term rental when you get there. And again, we don't know how many times he's actually been back since.
Right.
We don't know if he's actually kept that every month promise that he made to his mom. We don't know that. They actually haven't gotten to that point. We don't know if he's went back since at all, actually, since he got here.
Yeah, I'm curious, just because he did tell his mom that he would be visiting once a month, and she was not happy about that.
Well, that's pretty frequent. I mean, and again, who would be paying for that? Like, I have a million questions about the relationship, and it's funny because they're very vocal about everybody else's relationship and business, but for some reason we can't get one single answer about what's really going on with them, right?
Yeah.
We don't know if they actually have any money. We don't know what's going on. Like, they're super tight-lipped about anything personal, but they are so quick to tell Niles and Vanja and Brian and Vaya all the things that they're doing wrong, right? But we don't know what the hell is going on with them, which I think is pretty interesting. It's, you know, people who you know nothing about, there's a reason for that. You know, if you know nothing about them whatsoever, there's a reason for that. They're hiding something.
Yeah.
And I think that they definitely are hiding something. And the way that they walked in, like they were, what's that girl? Meghan Markle. Meghan. And
yeah,
they walked in like they were the king and the prince of the ball. And I was like, they think that they're going to be the next housewives people. You know, like, I think that they have high hopes and expectations. And I was like, I don't know if y'all didn't get the memo or not, but we don't even like y'all. Like, we don't even like y'all.
He's charging like $30,000 to take her handwriting class. Come on.
$30,000.
Come on.
To take a handwriting. I've never heard of any. Can't you? First of all, you can take a handwriting class at any community college, right?
But
I'm pretty sure you could go to your local community college, literally anywhere, and pay maybe $4,000 or $5,000 for like a whole year.
Yep.
And take not just one handwriting class. You could take like 3 or 4 classes. I don't understand. And again, I don't know if being a handwriting expert is a lucrative career. I'm assuming when they need it for court cases and stuff, you would get paid. But I don't know. How much work would you get as a handwriting expert? Like, it's not steady work, right? Like, I can't imagine.
I mean, that. And you would have to be the best to get called in these cases.
Well, right.
You know,
they only
They're
want
not just going to be like, oh, gosh, I need a handwriting expert. And we want to bring someone into court named Tiger fucking Lily.
Well, yeah, they want you to be as credible and qualified as possible. So maybe a pyramid scheme Instagram course that you pay $30,000 is not going to pass their criteria for making you the highest rated expert in that field. Right. Yeah. That's they're the only people that I really can't figure out, because it's like,
also, you're going to bring her into a courthouse and she's not even going to make it through the metal detector because she has so much metal on her freaking fake hair that, like, there's so many things I could say about this situation.
Right? It's a lot. Okay, so that was just part one. I'm not going to lie, guys. I was very, very impressed with part one. I was disappointed that there's four total parts. We're not going to get into Vanja's story about Yoshiko filming her until part three. So it's part three when we get into that. So we still have a lot to go. But this was a good episode. I'm very satisfied with the level of drama. We're going to actually see next week if Niles punches Adnan, which I hope so. I don't want anybody to be fighting anybody, but I feel like Adnan deserves a punch the way that he was acting tonight. So if somebody punched him, I will look in the other direction.
I'm going to bail Niles out. Come hell or high water, I'm going to go bail that guy out.
If he does need to get bailed out, Kara and I will drive down and get him.
Yep.
Because it was very, very justified. If you had to smack that man, it was justified. I stand by you and I'll testify to your character. You're a good guy.
Me too. me too. All
right, guys. So we'll be back tomorrow. I'll be back tomorrow for Love in Paradise. That's coming, though. For The Last Resort tomorrow. And then I'll be live with Shibuti a little later tonight. We're going to do a little wrap up. Make sure you're following Kara. She's tagged in this video. And make sure you're following me on all social media platforms at George Massey, georgemassey.com. Anywhere you get your podcast, type in The George Massey Show. Everybody have a wonderful night. Have a great week. And I'll talk to you soon.
I will not be here tomorrow.
Yeah, Kara will not be here tomorrow. We will talk about that later on. But make sure that everybody says a prayer for Kara for tomorrow. It's going to be a interesting day for her. But she will be back after that situation has passed.
Okay, you guys have the best night.
Bye, guys. Bye.